Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, and it's November the 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page XV, that's 15, the forward to the second edition, and it's the first paragraph. Since the original forward to this book, ending with, have sprung up in other communities, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alex K., the 12 Traditions, Anita L. Readers of the text are Shelley E., Dana P., and Diane B. The share ID for Monday, November the 20th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,849. That's 20849. And Tuesday, November the 21st, that's this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,851. That's 20851. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcements person is Robin P. Here, let me find the rest of my text. Come on, here it is here. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Let me see. I lost my turn. This was outside donations. Okay. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully recovered for today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex K. And I will now ask Anita L. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass, and everyone have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XV, that's 15, in the foreword to the second edition, and we'll be studying the first paragraph only since the original foreword, and it's going to be ending with sprung up in other communities. And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book. Foreword to the second edition. Figures given in this foreword describe the fellowship as it was in 1955. Since the original foreword to this book was written in 1939, a wholesale miracle has taken place. Our earliest printing voiced the hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. Already, continues the early text, twos and threes and fives of us have sprung up in other communities. Good morning, everyone. Prompted by a earlier sharer this morning, I looked up, because I couldn't remember exactly what she had said, what a foreword is. And a foreword tells the readers why they should read the book, and it lends credibility and trust while enticing the reader to keep turning the pages. And I know, in particular, when I start with my sponsees, and we start just like we have started in the last week, the very first page, and we read the forewords, I can almost hear through the wire of the telephone the eye roll. Why are we starting on these pages? I really need to get going. Doesn't this lady realize I've got to get moving here when I'm reading all these forewords? And there is a reason, and there's a reason that they've kept them all in there. And it And each one individually is different. And in this particular paragraph, each forward that is different. In this particular paragraph, the first thing that always catches my eye is that wholesale miracle. And I always, what is that wholesale miracle? And I've heard many people share on it. And I have such a bird brain. I can never remember exactly what they've said about it. And nor can I ever repeat, you know, their profound a definition of what it is. So today I looked up miracle. Miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. And then I looked up wholesale, performed or existing on a large scale, especially without discrimination. And I thought, well, you know, when you put them both together, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs, performed or existing on a large scale, especially without discrimination. I thought, well, isn't that just exactly what I in particular am experiencing and have since the very first minute that I walked in the doors of my very first meeting? I know for me, I have experienced many miracles. The very first day when I walked in the meeting and I realized that there were people like me and that no longer would I be alone. And I had a semblance of an explanation as to why I couldn't push away from the table or why. And that offered me such hope from the very beginning that I didn't understand it. I didn't know, you know, what was going to go for, what my life was going to look like from that moment forward. But that was my first miracle. My life has continued to have miracles. I no longer am that person that has to or thinks that they're running the show. No longer am I, you know, calling my children to see if they're in at night. I do have a lot of addicts in my family. I know I have enough to worry about with just myself. In particular, this week, my kitchen is full of baking items and food. Not my food, not my prescription. But I'm happy to do it for my family.
Fine.
And I'm not bitter about it. I'm not angry about it. But anyways, I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to share and to read. And everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Sally E., for getting us started. And if you just joined us, we are on page XV, the forward to the second edition, begins with since the original forward, and it ends with sprung up in other communities. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph in the foreword?
Larry G.
Got you, Larry. Larry G. Who else? Oh, come on.
Jessica C.
Jeannie B.
Gloria C. H.
Wait a minute. Jessica C. And who was after Jessica?
Gloria
H.
Jeannie. I got the Jeannie. All right. And then we have a gentleman in there.
No, you have a girl with a deep voice, Gloria H.
Oh, Gloria. Well, I do too. Gloria H. Thank you. Okay. I got Larry G., Jesse C., Jeannie. I didn't get your last initial, and Gloria H. Anyone else, real quick?
Vicky T.
Vicky T. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. All right. Good so we'll start with Larry G., followed by Jesse C. And everyone else, please mute their line. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. Larry G. from California. This little forward really inspired me to share this morning. I don't know any visionaries. I don't know anybody like Walt Disney or Elon Musk or Bill W., but I just wonder what, if Bill W. was living today, what would he think about this AA movement? You know, these little groups that sprouted up now, we have, I don't know how many millions of people in AA, millions of copies of the big book that's been sold. Just an amazing miracle movement that I've witnessed in this 21st century. When I got into Alcoholics Anonymous in 1981, I had a sponsor that took me everywhere. I had basically a year of sobriety. We would go to prisons. We would go to recovery homes. We would go to trailer parks and 12-step men and bring them to meetings. Back then, we didn't have internet. We just had this poorly printed schedule, and we would bring those out and hand those out to men and take them to meetings, take them to coffee to the meetings. And those were really, really exciting times for me. I mean, I was sober, and I couldn't wait to get to a meeting in the morning, the 6 a.m. breakfast attitude meeting, and then the 6 a.m. and then the meetings in the evening. Today, I don't do any of that, right? I mean, I do call new people that give their names. I call new people. I don't really come across people. I don't know how to approach somebody or how to 12-step somebody into OA. I haven't really done that. So it's really interesting when you see that they didn't have, I don't think, intergroups back then. So there must have been, boots on the ground, these guys and gals getting out in their own communities and talking to alcoholics and inspire them, talking them, 12-stepping them into meetings. So it's just, I would like to study more of this. It's just a really interesting phase of our society. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much, Larry G. Up next is Jessica C., followed by Jeannie. Good morning, Jessica. Press star 1 to unmute. I can't hear you. All right.
Hi, can I be heard?
There you are. Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. When I'm reading this, I'm just, I guess what I'm thinking about that if something is God's will to flourish, then it will flourish. And, what I know about early AA history is that they didn't do it perfectly, that there were missteps along the way. And I know that of early OA history as well, that there was that Roseanne, our founder, lost her abstinence, that there was conflict about the direction that the program should go in, and yet OA flourished. And I never thought that the destination, like it says here, every alcoholic who journeys will find the fellowship of AA at his destination. I never thought that the destination would be in my home. It would just be in the room where my laptop is. It's so incredible to me that through technology that we can access meetings and fellowship at basically any time. And to me, getting back to sort of what I said originally, that if God wants something to flourish, that it will, that when I, because my part of my disease is a tremendous amount of perfectionism and paralysis. Analysis paralysis, like not, not getting things done in my life because I don't want to do them if I feel like it's not going to go perfectly. And I guess, and I would eat when I would get into that mode, which was almost all the time, the food would fuel it. It would keep me paralyzed, and numbed out from how I was not meeting my commitments, or my life was going nowhere, and the food would numb me out from that. And so, this reminds me that I can take the next right action, God-directed action, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but if it's God's will, then it will flourish. And if it's not God's will and it doesn't go the way I want, then I can go to my higher power for comfort instead of going to food when things didn't work out the way that I wanted them to. So there's just a lot of hope, and just reminds me that God is here to support the, you know, AA and OA, and God is here to support me in my life, in my individual life, with Hi. Growth and being of more use and service to others. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jessica C. Up next is Jeannie. Give me the initial of your last name.
Hi, this is Jeannie B, like boy, J-E-A-N-N-I-E-B, from Florida, recovered. I am so thrilled to be here this morning because I'm off of work this week and can join you live. And so what a thrill it is to be back on the line live. This paragraph for me, the 2, 3s, and 5s, really has me thinking about physics and inertia and momentum and how the 2s became... has became 10, and the way that when someone is on the gas, boom, and that gets pushed forward. But then I also know that if that gas comes off, foot comes off, it slows down slowly and slowly and slowly until another boom. And so I think of my recovery as any time I want to get lackadaisical or comfortable, or to let my foot off the gas of my 12 daily steps, then I risk that ease, that pull back toward the old habits, toward the old food, toward the old thinking. But I won't do it because I remember, boom, I must go forward. Boom, every day into the 12 steps and into recovery. And it starts every morning with prayer and meditation and then vision. Vision, vision, vision. Thank you for the recordings. Thank you for the meeting. Thank you all. God bless. I pass.
And thank you very much, Jeannie B. from Florida. Up next is Gloria H., followed by Vicki T. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, good morning. It's Gloria H. from Charlotte, North Carolina. But mostly my conversation and my language is like a New Yorker. The paragraph, the reading. And I always think to myself, how does this reading, how can I get something out of this reading? But, you know, everyone hears what they hear. And that's what you say, I think, in your foreword to the meeting. That is what you interpret it as. And so I heard so many things, and the piggyback is what I want to say. I came in here in 1978. That's when I found out about OA. And I found out through a person who was at my workplace, not anyone that I would really talk to, but she just beamed. She beamed like a miracle. And I had to ask her, you know, at that time, I would have followed anybody to the donkey chase if I thought it was going to help me to lose weight, you know. So I said to her, I said, you know, what was going on? She said, well, she said, I can't really tell you. So I said, oh, no, it's a cult. No, it's a lodge. It's a this, it's a that, you know. And then so I got this book in a literature, and it was called Miracle, something about miracles. Not A Course in Miracles, but I forgot the name of the book now. But anyway, and I read the book, and I found the meeting. She tried to start a meeting in our workplace. But, you know, people are too closed-minded when it comes to speaking their truth in front of other people. Their anonymity is like a vague thing. But when someone said about it being a miracle, every day, little miracles happen every day. It was a miracle that God put me into that place to speak to her, that he would open up my eyes from 1978 to now that I can still remember. And when I went to those meetings, they weren't 2, 3, 5, 10 people. They were big meetings. And when I first heard someone come to my community and speak, I thought they were professionals. I thought these people were, you know, people that were born spokespersons or something, selling something. But the more I stuck around, like all of the slogans, nobody said those slogans then. Easy does it just for today. Now everyone says it. Lay people say it all the time. You know, so those are miracles. And the miracle is that this program still exists after all those years. That's the miracle of it all. Through COVID, through earthquakes, through me, I had a, what do you call it? I can't think. I don't make much sense before a certain hour. I have to get all my brain cells together to calibrate. But I had Hurricane Sandy. And so with the loss of Hurricane Sandy, I had to move from New York to here. But it was a miracle that I got the stuff to do, that I was able to speak to the people I spoke to. Every day when I do something that I don't want to do, I say it's a miracle that I'm doing it. And it flourishes. And when you go to other countries, yes, there's another program. If there's not, they say go to the other rooms. AA, you know, just go to a room because you have the things in common, that addiction and whatnot. And I listen to other A's, and I do know the A's. You know, when you go to the A program and you hear other people, you know, their lives have been changed, of course, their course of their trajectory has been changed because higher power, the God of my understanding, has intervened. And I can, that's my 3 minutes. I have my own time on. Thank you for listening to me, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Gloria H. And before I take Vicki T., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XV, that's 15, forward to the second edition, and it begins with Since the Original Forward, and it ends with Sprung Up in Other Communities. And after Vicki, I'll take more names. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Vicki T. I'm recovered in South Florida. And I want to talk about the word miracle that really stood out for me. And I had a sponsor not too long ago, and he said to me, you know, Vicki, I really don't know why I don't want to compulsively overeat. It's a miracle. And I just rolled my eyes and thought, oh, God, really? Seriously? You're going to go there with this? I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. And now maybe somebody's rolling their eyes at me because I get it. It's a miracle that I don't want to compulsively overeat. It is a miracle. And the other thing that feels like a miracle is that I've been in program for 34 years, and I've had, even though I don't think it's part of recovery, I have had many relapses. That's just part of my story. The one thing that's been missing all those years is a relationship with God. Well, page 45 tells me the main thesis of this book is the point is to have develop a relationship with a power greater than myself. So I missed the whole boat for a long, long time. And so last Saturday, not this past, but the Saturday before, I found God. I found him that Saturday. It's just a week ago. And I feel so different. So you ask, well, how did she find him? What did I do? I went into, I have a special room in my house where I just do yoga and meditation and prayer. And I make it special, so it's fun. I've been doing it, but I've been doing it like on the fly, if I can, if I'm not too tired. Now it's just like brushing my teeth. But it's so deep and so meaningful. And I started with two-way prayer, which I know started, that the Oxford group started that. And it's incredible where it flows out of me, and it's so healing. And then what I did is I wrote my own prayers, not from scratch. I used some of our basic prayers from our delicious program. I created them for myself, for things that I need healing. And they grow every day. And there's just, it's pages and pages of prayers. And then I do a meditation. And I tell you, it's funny, I work, so I need to get to work. If I was retired, I probably would do 2 hours. And like, people would, and here's the miracle. If you know me, you're thinking this is a miracle. If you don't know me, you're like, oh, well, no big deal. But for me to spend 5 seconds in meditation, because I can't sit still for 2 seconds, now I crave more. I'm craving. Thank you so much. I'm craving this, just like I crave the food. But this is a better thing. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Vicki T. And so, although we value your experience, that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, the forward to the second edition? Page XV begins with Since the Original Forward, and it ends with Sprung Up in Other Communities. Who would like to share this morning?
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. Who else? Now's your time.
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T.
Sorry, C from Connecticut.
Who was that?
Kelly H. from North Carolina.
I got you, Kelly.
Surrey C. from Connecticut.
Surrey C. Anyone else?
Juanice.
Juanice. Okay, we'll stop with you, Juanice. Juanice N. Okay, so we have Sherry H.M., Mary Ellen T., Kelly H., Surrey C., and Juanice N. Okay, everyone else mute your line except Sherry H.M. Please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thanks for your service, Mo. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C. Gratefully recovered in Washington State. This is just such a miracle book, and I love his phrase, a wholesale miracle has taken place. I think his mind would be blown that now we have just so many different branches and programs throughout the world, and for any addiction, including food, alcohol, drugs, sex, and one called Information Technology Anonymous. And, you know, this word miracle, I knew that it had happened to other people when I walked in the doors. But I just thought, well, that's them. They don't know how bad my addiction is. They don't know how much I have to have, you know, my chocolate in order to live. And I just thought, no way could it help me. But here I am, thanks to God's grace and mercy, 9 years later. And I just can't believe that I don't even crave sugar anymore. I repel like the big book talks about it. So I'm so, so grateful. This program has changed my life. And thanks for your service. And everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving, focusing on the gratitude and not the foodtitude. So thanks a lot. And I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry H.M. And up next is Mary Ellen T., followed by Carrie H. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mary Ellen. T is in Tango. I live in Oregon. And today I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I do also really love the two words paired together, wholesale miracle. I look back at my journey in OA these past 5 years, and I have struggled to be able to have entire abstinence for any considerable length of time. But, you know, the work that I've done in these 5 years has been beautiful. It has changed my life in such a significant way. You know, I was blessed when I came in. I saw OA through a runner's magazine. And, well, why did I have a runner's magazine? Well, I was running so I could try to keep the weight off. I was trying to find the best way to be able to really keep the weight off of me. And, I'm running and I've got 60 extra pounds on me, and it was always injury. But, you know, came in, I got struck abstinent, but I didn't realize that I've got to be really willing to do all the measures that you guys say that you had to do to get recovered. And it was resistance against weighing and measuring. It was resistance against getting a food plan. It was being in a lot of denial about my step one and my powerlessness, because I felt like I still had power over some foods. And, you know, I didn't binge consistently on a certain food category. I put the sugar down. That was no problem. I knew that was my issue, but I really struggled to understand my powerlessness over foods in the fat category. And boy, how it's taken me a good 4 years to really see that I am so powerless over all food. You know, once I finally put down the fat and started recoiling from it appropriately, you know, through my higher power's help and just really, really begging her to help me to be done with that, then it popped these food behaviors. And I couldn't understand, because I didn't want to eat those extra. I weighed and measured the food, but then I just throw something in my mouth extra. And it was so spontaneous. I didn't understand why it was happening. Kept praying about it. Kept trying to do extra phone calls and asking higher power for help. I've had to go through the steps 3 times this past year. But, you know, all of this work that I've done this past 5 years has been beautiful. I'm a changed person. I'm so much kinder. I know that higher power, you know, her destination for me is to be of service. And when I get to thinking about me, and I want this, and I got to have that, and why can't this be my way? And I realize, oh, that's not what God wants me to be. You know, this big book tells me once I get recovered, I'm supposed to turn around the world and to be of service and to be guided and directed by my higher power. So I pray daily to be really directable. And I love what a fellow shared is I don't get to eat like other people and I don't get to act like other people anymore. And I'm really appreciative for all the shares that have helped me recover 5 years I passed.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. Up next is Kelly H. followed by Suri C. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, this is Kelly H. from North Carolina. Thank you so much for your service and all the shares. I have been the relapse queen this past year by my own making. There was no power that drew me there except for my lack of activity and unwillingness. And earlier, while I was listening and kind of trying to catch up on some journaling, the thought occurred to me from the shares that basically that a life without willingness is a life without miracles. And I am back at a weight I said I would never, ever, ever be at again. And here I am. But the good news is it's not over. I need to find a sponsor. But when I read this paragraph with everyone here, voiced the hope, those three words in that middle of that paragraph, is really important to me right now. I like the fact that this book, you know, it kept the forewords from all the editions. Like the book was written in 1939, right before one of the worst times in history, World War II. So since then, there was just such incredible historical movements, shifts, paradigm shifts in our nation. I mean, can we not say that we are experiencing that kind of thing now? And yet in the midst of global stuff, there are individuals like me who are needing hope to overcome compulsive overeating. That too is the work of God. And I really need to be in this place. Stop focusing on all the other stuff, big stuff, crazy stuff, global stuff. Right here in my own body, I need the power of God. And I'm grateful for words like hope that I can just hold on to like a monkey bar. And I know the journey in front of me is going to be long, but all I have to do is just the work for today. So I'm going to lots of meetings. This is my third meeting of the day. I'm back in the literature. I'm journaling. I am meeting with the Lord, and I'm not working on my salvation. I am working on my sobriety. And so I appreciate the distinction and the grace, and I intend to find power today, and I'm glad that I can find it through those shares that I'm hearing this morning. So thank you all. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Kelly H. Oh, perfect timing. Thank you very much. And we'll be praying for you. Okay, Suri C, followed by Juanis N. Good morning, Suri.
Hi, this is Suri C from Connecticut. My mind is in a million different directions. I tried to find the reading in time to have reviewed it. Grateful for that experience, grateful for my lack of success, grateful that I have the book open for the first time in a while, and I'm laughing at myself, better than crying, right? I have so many copies of this book, and I will keep getting more because there is no question in my mind that this is the answer for me. That's all I can say is that it's the answer for me because I'm lost. I am of the hopeless variety, but I woke up again today, so my higher power has not given up on me. He has more faith in me. She has more faith in me. They have more faith in me. Than I do in myself. I'm not recovered in my food. I am not recovered in my life. You know, there are many that believe that you can't go through the steps until you're fully abstinent. You know, you put the food down by putting the food down. And I am powerless over the food. I am trying to make peace and let go and accept that I have to take the next right step. And the more uncomfortable I am with that next right step, that next step, whatever it be, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, the more uncomfortable I am, the more likely that it is to be the right step. Because I am so used to just doing what I want. I'm a compulsiver, alcoholic. I could turn into an alcoholic. I could turn into whatever. But my meeting of choice, my meeting where I know I belong, is an Overeaters Anonymous, because I can fill myself with food so quickly. So quickly. I mean, the options are endless. 7-Eleven, 24/7. The cards are stacked against us. So for all of you that are recovered, that are doing service, for all of you in whatever degree of service you're doing, whatever degree of recovery you have, thank you. Thank you so much.
Time.
That I pass.
Thank you, Suri C. And before I take one, Nisa, because we'll have time for maybe one more share, we're on page XV, forward to the second edition, first paragraph, since the original forward, and it ends with sprung up in other communities.
Agnes A. Elsher.
Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. Good morning.
Okay, great. Good. Good morning. My name is Juanice N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and so grateful to be here with this meeting today because this wholesale miracle really changed my life. But because I realized it, because I looked it up wholesale and got to see that it was for everybody. That's what I got out of my word study I did for it, that it's for everybody. Anybody who's willing to do the work, it will work. And the miracle, it's such a miracle that I'm even here. It's such a miracle that I see life the way I see life now, that it's like everything has changed, and that's not what I came in here for. I didn't even know what my problem was when I came to OA. I was just desperate and alone and clueless and confused and baffled. I couldn't figure out why couldn't I do something that I wanted to do with all of my heart, with all of my desire. I wanted to stop eating the way I was eating, and I absolutely could not do it. And what did I do? How did I get on the other side of it? I just let go. I had to let go of everything I thought I needed and just do and everything I thought I had to have in order to be okay and just do what I was told. And now when I look at it, the miracle, when I look back at it, it's like it's so simple. I didn't have to figure it out. I didn't have to understand it. I just had to do it. It's so simple when I look back, but it wasn't simple when I was on the other side. It seemed utterly just confusing and baffling. But I also wanted to just talk about the miracle of this fellowship, the miracle of the fellowship. You know, I have met this one person in my life. I met scads and scads of people, but this one person in my life that I literally feel like God allows this woman to see in my soul when I talk to her. When I just really can't understand, when I really don't know, there's a person that God has put in my life, and I don't know why or how and she does it, but it's like she can see directly into my soul. I mean, talk about a miracle. You know, every help that I need is here because the help that is here leads me to a relationship with God. And all of the help that I need is just here. And it's just wonderful. Oh, man, that was too fast. Okay, thank you. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you very much, Juanice. We have time for about a 1.5 minute share. Does somebody want to take that?
Edna, please.
Okay. Okay, Agnes, you go. Okay.
Yeah, I just zeroed in on the hope. You know, like if I didn't ever believe in miracles, but I do. You know, that my journey in OA has just been one miracle. You know, they say I came for the vanity, I stayed for the sanity. And it's just, I'm just grateful that I know where to go and everywhere I've found myself, you know, and also thanks to virtual capability, there is a meeting, there is a connection, you know, just on the other side, and I'm not alone. So for me, the miracle is that I'm not hopeless about the food and weight journey. I'm beyond that, you know, the spiritual awakening, you know, of connection with God, a higher power that makes every day a day of joy, you know, a day of happiness, regardless of what's happening. And that's the miracle I've found in OA, community, you know, and just growth and hope. And that's with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Agnes A., and that'll close us out. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for your shares. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Dana P. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Dana P. here. Good morning, my fellows. I'm in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.
Thank you.